Well, our second reading from the Bible this morning comes from the book of Ephesians. We've been going through this book for the last few weeks. And this morning we'll be reading from chapter 2 of this book, chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Just before this, Paul has described the immeasurably great power of God, which raised Jesus from the dead and which seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And this is the immeasurably great power, he says, that is at work in us. And he has prayed that we may know the great power that is at work within us, along with the hope that we have and the riches of God's glorious inheritance in the saints. And having spoken of that, we now read these verses from Ephesians chapter 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. Well, at this time, people's minds are absorbed with news of a virus that is wreaking such carnage throughout the world. A virus that is causing many people to die, a virus that needs to be prevented from spreading more and more, a virus for which we hope one day a cure, an effective cure will be found. People's minds at this time, understandably, I suppose, are absorbed with news of this particular coronavirus. But this morning, I want you to absorb your mind with news of actually a far worse virus. But I also want you to absorb your mind with the good news that for this particular virus, there is a cure. There is already a cure. And this cure is perfect, and it's complete, and it's total. And this is what we find in our passage before us this morning in Ephesians chapter 2, those verses that I've just read. We find in this passage news of the world's worst virus, a virus that is far more serious than the coronavirus or anything else, this virus that the Bible calls sin. But we also find in our passage this morning the good news, the wonderful news of a cure, a perfect cure for this virus of sin. And this cure is really summed up in what the Bible calls grace. And I want to say to you this morning that if you don't know what Christianity teaches, if you don't really know what Christians believe, then here in Ephesians chapter 2, the passage I've just read, here you have the main message of Christianity spelled out for you. You have it succinctly summarized, and you have it spelled out for you in the highlighting of two particular truths that I want to look at with you this morning. Truth number one is this: the devastating diagnosis of our condition. And then truth number two, the second thing that I want us to consider, is God's complete cure for our condition. Those are the two points that I want to address with you this morning. We have the devastating diagnosis of our condition, but we also have God's complete cure for our condition. So let's look at those points together. Point number one, the devastating diagnosis of our condition. And you notice just how devastating the diagnosis is in the first three verses. And here we are told what the natural human condition is like. And we're told really three main things about what we as humans are naturally like. The first thing we're told is this, that we are dead. We're dead. Paul says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. We've all been infected with the disease of sin. And such is the power of this disease that it leaves us spiritually dead. That's what we are like by nature. We are spiritually dead. Another way of putting this is that we're all fallen creatures. We're all fallen in Adam. And that therefore means that we are all born, when we're born into this world, we are all born as dead people, spiritually dead people. You know, our first cry as a baby in this world is actually the cry of a spiritual corpse. I know that's a somewhat graphic, even morbid image, but that's the reality that the Bible teaches here. The first cry of a baby in this world is the cry of a spiritual corpse, of someone who is alienated from God, of someone who is separated from his presence, from the presence of the one who is the source of all life. And a very important implication of this truth that we are all spiritually dead people is this, that we are helpless. That we're utterly and absolutely helpless. We cannot make ourselves alive. We cannot raise ourselves from that existence of spiritual death into which we are born. We are unable to breathe spiritual life into our souls. We can't do it. Just as a corpse in a morgue cannot free itself from the grip of death. It just lies there, doesn't it? Lifeless, dead, utterly helpless, utterly unable to do anything about it. And so, in the same way, no human being can free him or herself from their spiritual death. It's impossible. We were dead, Paul says, in our trespasses and our sins. But the diagnosis just gets worse. Not only were we dead, we were also, secondly, guilty. We may well have been helpless spiritual corpses, but that does not mean that we were guiltless. Far from it. You know, sin is not a disease of which we are the unwilling victims. Not at all. We actively choose to sin. That is the point that Paul goes on to make when he speaks. If you look down at your Bible, he speaks in verse 2 of the sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Now, what is Paul saying here? Paul is saying here that we were the walking dead. We were, another somewhat graphic, morbid image, we were spiritual zombies. We were the walking dead. And in what direction did we walk? What was the drumbeat to which our steps marched? Well, he says it was to the drumbeat of the world, doesn't he? You were following, he says, the course of this world, by which he means that realm of rebellion against God, what he also calls this present evil age. That's what he means there by the world, that realm, that sphere that is in rebellion against God. We were following the course of this rebellious world, he says. Moreover, we were also marching to the drumbeat of the devil, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. We were slaves of Satan. We were following him. And in addition to that, he also says that we were marching to the drumbeat of our own flesh, among whom, verse 3, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Now, when Paul speaks here of our flesh, what he's getting at is the totality of who we are, body and soul, as it raged against God. And what he says here is that such sinful rage against God is common to every single human being. Notice here how he speaks of we all once lived in the passions of the flesh. No one is excluded from that. Earlier on, he's actually been speaking in the second person. You once walked. He's addressing in particular Gentiles there. But here he does include everyone, Jew and Gentile. We all once lived in the passions of our flesh. In other words, our depravity, our sinful depravity is total. It's total both in an intensive sense. Every single part of us is infected with the disease of sin. And it's total in an extensive sense. Every single person is infected with this disease of sin. And so you can see, can't you, just how devastating God's diagnosis of our natural condition is. What Paul is saying here is that by nature we are dead and helpless spiritual corpses, and that as such we actively choose to follow that unholy triad of the world and the flesh and the devil. Everything that once defined us as evil, defined us as depraved and as guilty sins. But Paul isn't even finished there. The diagnosis just gets even more devastating. In fact, it actually reaches its nadir, its lowest point, at the end of verse 3, where Paul says that we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Not only were we dead and guilty, we were also, in the third place, under God's wrath. And this is actually what makes our sin disease so extraordinarily serious. It leaves us liable to God's just and righteous anger. Sin, in a sense, wouldn't be so serious if God was indifferent to it, but God is not. God is angry with those who have sinned against him, who have turned away from him. And as spiritually dead, guilty people, the Bible teaches that we deserve to be punished by God. We deserve to be punished by him forever. You know, at this time, many people are dreading becoming infected with the coronavirus. They're dreading receiving the diagnosis that they have caught COVID-19. But what we see here in Ephesians chapter 2 is that the Bible gives a far more devastating diagnosis. And it says that everyone has caught this particular virus. Everyone has become infected with the virus of sin. The Bible says to all people everywhere, throughout all history, you are dead. You are helpless. You are guilty sinners, and God is angry with you. And it's important for us to remember this morning that there is, in fact, no greater disease than the disease of sin. There is nothing more deadly than that. But we also need to remember something else this morning. You'll notice, perhaps, the tense in which Paul describes this diagnosis. I wonder if you did notice that. Did you notice that it's all spoken in the past? The past tense. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He says, you once walked following the world and the devil. He says, we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. That we were by nature children of wrath. It's all spoken in the past tense. That was what was true back then, but no more. And as we remember just how devastating God's diagnosis of our natural condition is, we also need to remember that wonderfully, God has cured us as Christians. God has cured us of our terrible sickness. And this brings me to my next and second point. Point number two, God's complete cure for our condition. We've seen the devastating diagnosis of our condition. And now we come on to God's complete cure for our condition, which we see really in verses 4 through to the end of this passage. And you can see that two of the most joy-producing words in the whole Bible are spoken at the start of verse 4. Those two words are, but God. But God. And with those two words, a dramatic shift in mood takes place. And we are brought out of the darkness and into the glorious light. We were dead and guilty sinners, unable to save ourselves from divine wrath. But God has acted, Paul says. But God has done for us what we could never have done for ourselves. But God has saved us. But God has cured us. And with these words, but God, it is, so to speak, that the trumpet blast of salvation is sounded. And what is it that we learn here about this salvation, this cure for the disease of our sin? We learn two particular things that I want to look at with you for the next few moments. Number one, we learn that the source of our salvation is the sheer and the unmerited and immeasurably great grace of God. Paul is at pains to emphasize that, isn't he? He is insistent that it's all of grace. He repeats that, doesn't he? You can see it in verse 5, where he says, by grace you have been saved. And then again, later on in verses 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This isn't your own doing, it's the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Yes, God is wrathful towards sinners, but God is also rich in mercy towards sinners. God loves us with an infinitely great love, even though as dead sinners there is nothing lovely about us. Nothing attractive about us. We are by nature spiritual corpses. There is nothing lovely about us. And yet, God, out of the sheer abundance of his grace, sets his love upon us and chooses to save us. I wonder, brothers and sisters, And I speak to myself at this point as well. Do we ever really marvel at the grace of God? Do we marvel that God should be so rich in grace towards people like us? People who are by nature so rebellious and so resistant to God. People who by nature hate him. Do we marvel at the fact that God should be gracious to us? Do we sing along with that great hymn, "And Can It Be?" And can it be that I should gain? That I should gain an interest in my Saviour's blood. You know, there really is nothing more amazing than grace. It truly is amazing. It blows the mind that God should be gracious to us. The grace of God is the source of our salvation. But secondly, we also learn here about the substance of our salvation. And what we see here is that the substance of our salvation is a person, and it is the person of Jesus Christ. God's grace to us comes to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is your salvation. It's not so much that Jesus gives you salvation. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is your cure. Just look at what Paul says, if you cast your eyes down to verse 5, God loved us even when we were dead in our trespasses, and he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's so much that could be said about these verses, but what I want you to notice with me this morning is how your sin-sick condition is so perfectly remedied in Jesus Christ. Nothing is left untreated by the great doctor, Jesus Christ. Do you notice how he completely cures your disease? Remember what I said earlier on about the devastating diagnosis that is true of all of us. Remember how Paul says we were dead, but now what are we in Christ? Now we are alive. Alive with him. We are raised up with him. Jesus' death conquering resurrection life is ours. By his Holy Spirit, Jesus has, as it were, breathed life into us so that we are no longer spiritual corpses. We couldn't do that for ourselves, but Jesus Christ has done it for us. We were dead, but now we are alive. We were also guilty, weren't we? We were the willing slaves of the world and the flesh and the devil. But now what are we in Christ? Well, we are, Paul says, seated with him in the heavenly places. In other words, we share in his victory over sin, in his victory over death, in his victory over Satan. And so we are no longer categorized as guilty slaves. Now in Christ, we are reigning kings, seated with him in the heavenly places above. And just as a slight aside, isn't it remarkable to think that right now, as you sit in your chairs at home and watch your computer screen or your TV screen, right now, as you sit there at home, you are also seated with Christ in the heavens. We were dead, but now we are alive. We were guilty slaves, but now we are reigning kings in Christ. And we were, of course, children of wrath. We were under the wrath of God, but now what are we in Christ? In Christ, we are now children of grace. We have been engraced in the Lord Jesus. We are no longer disgraced with our sin. We have been engraced in the Lord Jesus through faith in him. which, as Paul says, is the gift of God. But do you see, brothers and sisters, do you see just how perfect your salvation is? Do you see, to be a bit more precise, how perfect your Saviour is? He who is your salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Do you see how the Lord Jesus perfectly remedies every part of your sin-sick condition? There is nothing that goes untreated, nothing at all. No stone, so to speak, is left unturned. God in his grace, through Jesus Christ, has done for you what you could never do for yourself. And so we see this morning the devastating diagnosis of our condition, but also God's complete cure for our condition. And as we draw to a close, I wonder if you could imagine someone developing a cure for this coronavirus that is afflicting us right now. Imagine if today, right now, at this moment, someone came up with a perfect cure that immediately cured everyone of their sickness. How would people respond to that? Imagine if that were to happen. How would people respond? Of course, in a whole variety of ways, but I can think of at least two responses to the development of a perfect cure or vaccine. First of all, surely people would enjoy just living their lives again, living a normal life again. We would take new pleasure, wouldn't we, in going outside without any restrictions whatsoever. We would take new pleasure in being able to return to work and in spending time with our friends and our family. We would take new pleasure in finding enough food in the shops. And I trust as well we would take new pleasure in coming to church and gathering together again Sunday by Sunday. People would enjoy, wouldn't they, doing what they were meant to do. That would surely be one response. And I think also a second response would be to honour and praise and highly esteem whoever it was who had come up with and discovered this particular cure for the coronavirus. That person would be greatly honoured and greatly praised by all. And this morning what we see in Ephesians 2 is that God has cured you, Christian believer. God has cured you of a far, far worse condition than COVID-19. So how do you respond? Well, surely you respond by enjoying with new pleasure the life that you were always meant to live. No longer walking as you once did, walking in those awful deadly sins, that virus of your sin, but now walking as God's workmanship, as those who have been created, as Paul says in verse 10, created in Christ Jesus, walking in those good works for which God has prepared you. You're not saved by good works, but you certainly are saved for good works, and now in Christ Jesus you are free and you are able to do good. You are free and you are able to live the life that you were meant to live, for which you have been created in Christ. And surely also the second response to the wonderful cure that God has provided is to thank and praise and honour him for his immeasurably rich grace and kindness that he has shown towards you. You glorify God for his grace now, in this world, in this particular age, because this is exactly what you and indeed the whole creation will be doing in the ages to come. You know, life is hard now. Certainly not what any of us would choose. We live under the spectre of a terrible pandemic, and I miss you very much. Let me say that I miss you hugely. I miss gathering with you. It pains me not to be able to see you this morning. But nevertheless, we can rejoice and we can glory in our God, the God of all grace, the God who has cured us of our sin and who has made us alive with Christ. And you know, there is no virus, however powerful, no virus that can take away that grace of God towards us in Jesus Christ. Oh, blessings be upon you, my dear friends. Amen.